So interestingly, just a couple of days ago, a young married couple came to sit down with me, and they wanted to meet about a number of issues, and they've both made great strides in their faith in recent years. They've been married 3 or 4 years, they've started a family, and one of the topics they wanted to cover was that of finances. And the young mom, she says, "Father, you know, I think of the widow who gave everything she had to God, and I want to do that. I just want to give it all away." And she's on fire, they're zealous. I said, "Okay, well, you've got some obligations and duties. You can't give it all. We can't give it all away, all the time at least." I said, "But you can do," because she said, "Well, then what do we do?" And I said, "I would do what God asks of us." And I said confidently, I said, 10%. I said, 10% goes to God. And it's interesting, I surprised myself because I don't like talking about money, and I don't like asking people for money. I remember a few years ago when we did our capital campaign, I was put in charge of trying to get the big dollar amounts. So I met with certain families, you know, if it was deemed that they could give 10 or 20 or 30 or more $1,000, I would be the one to ask them. Every single family or individual I met with, I could not give them a dollar amount. I would clam up and be like, "Oh, you know, if you could do anything, that'd be really great," right? But I said emphatically 10% because in recent years, I mean, not only is that scripture, God says everything you have, everything is my gift to you. You can keep 90% of it. I ask for 10% back. But I've also seen those families that I know who tithe. Now, I'm not a pastor who like looks at, okay, what's this family giving and that family. I don't know what you give every week or every month in the collection. But I do know that some of our families at least tithe, and they tithe 10%. And it's amazing. God takes care of those families in really profound ways. You know, they always seem to get by. He provides for them. And sometimes they're young families with a number of kids. And I'm thinking, man, if I was in your situation, I don't know that I would do that. Right? I'd be like, "Well, gosh, I got to provide for the future." And they say, "No, Father, that's what God asks, and that's what we're doing." And He takes care of them. But most amazingly and most strangely, in this last year, I had a family contact me, the father of a family, and they're not parishioners here, though I know them through Catholic circles in the diocese. And this man contacted me. He's a grounded man, rational, successful businessman. And he says, "Father," he says, "this may sound bizarre," he said, "but I feel like there's a curse on our family." He said, "We're just having trial after trial. Our health, our kids are being attacked, our marriage." He says, I don't know any other way to possibly explain it. And I'm thinking to myself, like, is that real? I mean, can someone be cursed, and who does that, and what happens? Well, a month later, he calls me again, and he said, "Father, can you come out to our family business?" He says, "You need to see something." And a ritual sacrifice of an animal had been performed at their family business. An animal slit right down the middle. It had someone's hair in it and an amulet. And the blood around it was scattered in such a way that it had been done by a professional. And even something was written in another language. I'm going, what the heck is this? I do a little research, and a death curse had been put on their family. And I'm wondering, does that really happen? I mean, so I go out there and I celebrate a mass and I say certain prayers to try to break anything that might have happened. I get a phone call from him 2 weeks later, and he said, "Father, can you come to the emergency room? My son's just been in a car accident. He's in critical condition. He spent weeks in the hospital." Then I thought, I've got to find out what is this and who knows about this stuff. How do we break this curse? I started calling around. I found a lady who's been involved in this field for 30 years. And she flies out to Sacramento and she meets with me and with this family. And it was unbelievable. She would say things. She knew everything this family was going through. Thing after thing, their marriage, their kids, their health. And she said, "Can I ask you something though? What about your finances?" She said, "Have they been hit?" And he said, "No, you know, financially we're doing really well. They're a very successful family." He said, "For the last 20 years, our finances have improved every single year. You know, we're very healthy financially." And she looked at him and she said, "You tithe, don't you?" And he said, "I'm sorry. Well, yeah, we give to the church." She said, "No, you tithe. You give 10%, don't you?" He said, "Well, yeah, we made that decision at the start of our marriage that we would do that, and we'd probably give more than 10% to the church every year." She said, "Any case I've ever worked on, when the family tithes, their finances are never affected." We've got this widow who doesn't give 10%, she gives everything. My brothers and sisters, God does ask of every single one of us 10%, and I'll get to that more fully in a minute. But why does He give us this example of a woman laying down all that she has, her entire livelihood? Now, we don't know how many times did she do that in her life. Maybe never, maybe this was the only time, but it must be that she was responding to what the Holy Spirit had placed on her heart, that her finances were in God's hands. Lord, how do You want me to use my money? How ought it to be spent? And she's moved to give everything she has. There are times where God will ask us to give sacrificially, to go above and beyond what we normally do. You remember a few years ago when we had our campaign, that's what was asked of every single one of us. I remember meeting with a couple, they're both retired, and the woman, she'd been able to stay at home, the man had worked, she had provided for the family, provided in the home, and he said, Father, they sat down with me, and they were one of the big asks. They gave more than I would have asked them for. They sit down and he says, Father, you know, we're on a fixed income. I'm retired. I was in the armed forces. He said, so we work on a budget. He said, when you presented our capital campaign, you gave a column of how much, if you gave a certain amount a month, what that would equal at the end. We sat down and we realized we could do, if we gave sacrificially, we could do probably close to $12,000. He said, but Father, then we talked and we decided, you know what, we should ask our Lord, what does He want us to do? He said, Father, I felt like we were supposed to go beyond what we were even thinking and give 15. And that would mean that once a month we would sacrifice going out, whether that be the movies or dinner. We would do that for the next 3 years so that we could do what God was asking of us. I literally welled up with tears. I thought, imagine what God thinks of this couple who asks Him, Lord, what do You want us to give? My brothers and sisters, God says 10%. I have no idea what you give. I don't think many Catholics... You go to Christian churches, non-Catholic Christian churches, most people tithe 10%. That's why you have a little church with like 30 families, and they survive for decades. It is rare that Catholics do such a thing. And I think it's because we have this sense that that's not part of our faith or not part of our spirituality. It's a profoundly spiritual act. And it will change your relationship with God if you bring Him into your finances. And if you say, Lord, what do You ask of us? Very few people give 10%, though some do. I had a family not too long ago, one, a parishioner. They wrote me a check for $65,000. And I'm looking at it, I'd never seen a check that big, right? And the family said, Father, we had a relative pass away, we received an inheritance, and we want to give God 10%. Do you know if you all gave 5%, what that would mean? It would mean our school would be free. We would never have a second collection ever. And there's one today, right? We would never have another capital campaign. I had a man from the area, a faithful Catholic man, he wanted to try to reduce tuition at the Catholic school that he and his family were a part of. He flew back to Kansas because in their diocese, most schools are free. And they said, you want to go to this parish, that's where it all started. He's sitting at Sunday Mass, and he's flipping through the bulletin before Mass starts, and he notices that their collection from the weekend before was $70,000. He taps the guy next to him and says, oh, what is this? He said, oh, that's about our average Sunday collection. He said, how is that possible? He said, 30 years ago, our pastor asked all of us if we would give 5%. If we would work to the point, if we weren't there yet, that we would start to do that. Within 5 years, our school was free. Within 10 years, the parish would pay for our youth to go to Catholic high schools. My brothers and sisters, 5% generally, the rule of thumb, goes to the parish, because that's where we are mainly provided for spiritually. And then the other 5% we use as we feel called. Maybe a religious order. Maybe helping put a kid through a Catholic school. Sacramento Life Center. May we entrust our finances to God and ask Him how He wants us to spend our money and seek to live in accord with His will.